begin with just an introduction about Chodesh Elul from the Avudraham. This Avudraham is very interesting. You know, we're familiar basically with two minhagim, one of which we start Slichot, let's say the last week. Again, it shifts from year to year, but the last 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, that's towards the tippy end of Elul, and the Sephardim begin Mamish tomorrow morning at the beginning of Elul. He has another minhag to begin with the 15th of Elul, wake up early and say Slichot, he calls them Tachnunim, and to ask for divine compassion, and that'll take us all the way to Yom HaKippurim. He says there are those who have a minhag to begin with Rosh Chodesh Elul, because that was the day in which Moshe Rabbeinu went up the third round, right? The first round was to get the Luchos Rishonos, the second round was to ask Hashem to Mechaper and not destroy the people after the Egel, and the third round, he got the second set of Luchos, and he prayed on behalf of Klal Yisrael, his tefillah, his prayer was accepted, and he received the Luchos. All this culminated on Yom HaKippurim 40 days later. So we have, according to the Sephardic tradition, the custom of 40 days of Slichot from Rosh Chodesh Elul, culminating in Yom Kippur, which is obviously the apex, and it's a day that's totally dedicated to Slichot. He goes on to say that Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, this is all very familiar to us, the Rashi Tevos are of Elul are Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, which reflects on the love relationship that reaches its pinnacle during the month of Elul. So we borrowed this pasuk from Shir HaShirim. But what I didn't know, and that's what the Avadram points out, for me it's a chiddush, that if you look at Sofei Tevos, in each case, the word Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li ends with a Yud, which if you calculate 4 times 10 is 40, and that represents the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul up till Yom HaKippurim. So that itself is an interesting piece in the Avodah, and I say this just as an introduction, because today is Rosh Chodesh Elul. What should we be doing during Elul? What serious thoughts should be crossing our minds? That's what I want to discuss with you. And the backdrop for all this is the famous Rambam in the third parak of Hilchus Tshuva. The Rambam, of course, is basing himself on Sugyos and Shas. It's not the Rambam is not original. And that is that Rosh Hashanah is a very serious day. It's a day of shofar blowing. It's a day in which we symbolically at least wake ourselves up from a certain spiritual slumber that typifies our experience the rest of the year. And this shofar blowing is meant to challenge us to look deeply into our acts. That's what we call a cheshbon ha-nefesh, to evaluate ourselves, to realize what our deficiencies, our failings are, and to repent and come back to our Creator. And this is a message to all of us who have a tendency of getting involved in what he calls, the Rambam used the phrase, hevli azman, you know, those nuances, those, how should I say, insignificant, petty experiences that just are transient, you know, they flow with time, but we get so involved in them and so obsessed with them, he calls them hevel v'rik, and now we have to wake ourselves up and have a different hierarchy of values, a different value system, begin to look inwardly to our nefashos and improve, rectify our ways. We should leave behind us all the evil and all those machshavos that are not good. The second part of this Rambam is what I want to call your attention to. Lefichach, how do we get ourselves into a very serious attitude and realize, you know, the weightiness of what this is all about? This is not just, you know, like musishmuz about do tshuva, you know, the daf tshuva ton, as the mashgichim say. No, it's much more serious than that. It has to do with the tremendous onus or burden or responsibility that's placed on each and every one of our shoulders, each individual. Tzarech kol adam, the Rambam says, every individual, yiras atzmo, he should see himself during the course of the year, as if he's in a situation of chetzio chetzio. He's half zakai, half chayav. He's really you know, in this judgment on the what we'll call it, the pin, you know, that point which could, you know, the seesaw could be tilted in this direction or that direction. And not only that, but more importantly, he's not just at a crossroads for himself, determining, as it were, what his future will be, but the entire world rests on his shoulders. The entire world is in a chetzio zakai, chetzio chayev mode, and the future, the destiny of mankind is on the line, and therefore if you as an individual will sin, one single sin, you now have tilted the scale in favor of chova. If on the other hand you tilt it towards the mitzvah, then not only do you save yourself, but you save the entire world. What an awesome sense of responsibility. The Rambam invokes the pasuk in Mishlei, "V'tzadik yisod olam," that with this act of tzedek, of justice and righteousness, we can be machria, each individual can have an impact on the entire world. In last week's parsha of Re'eh, we read that the Torah begins the parsha in the singular, right? It says, Re'eh, you as an individual should see. And then it goes on, Lifneichem, to shift to the plural, the grammatical plural. And all the Mefarshim notice this. The Kli Yakar says that Re'eh is Medaber LiYachid, addresses the individual, to indicate to the individual what a great responsibility rests on his shoulders. You know, we think somehow the individual in the ultimate calculation is like a cog in the wheel. No, Re'eh. Lefisha Amru Chazal, and here he makes reference to the source of the Rambam that we just saw before. The source of the Rambam is in Kiddushin. Li'olam Yidme La'adim, it should always appear to a person's mind as if the entire world is mechtzal mechtzal, it's in this half situation, and therefore if he does one mitzvah, he saves the world. And that's what Re'eh means. Look and see with your mind, with the eye of your mind, that your actions have a tremendous impact. They will determine the future and the destiny of the world. The repercussions of your actions are immense. And before we go on to see the mission in Avos and ask Akash on the mission in Avos, I want to take a few minutes of your time to share with you an insight of the Chasam Sofer, which you don't have here on your page, so it'll be Torah Shebaal Peh. He too addresses the question as to why Re'eh starts with the grammatical singular and then continues to the plural. And he says the following, based on the Gemara in Kiddushin that we just saw, that the entire world and its future, its destiny is in the balance, and you could be machriya yourself in the entire world, either l'schus or l'chova. He says that's what the Torah means when it says, Re'eh anochi nosein lifneichem ayom, bracha uklala. Bracha means, if you choose to do a mitzvah, then you bring a bracha to the entire world, and you save the world. If, on the other hand, you go the opposite direction, then you bring a klala to the world. Everything depends upon me. That's the attitude of Re'eh that addresses the individual. But I wanted to read one poetic line of the Chasam Sofer, which I thought adds and embellishes what we've been saying. He writes the following, Bechol masa sheyasa adam, in every action that a man implements, yira atzmo, he should see himself, Re'eh means see yourself, and the significance of your actions. V'yomar l'nafsho, he should, so to speak, have a conversation with his soul, and tell his soul, harei bazeh, with this challenge and this mitzvah that I'm going to do, or if it's the opposite, the avera chas shalom, ani mechayas olam o memis olam hakol l'fi amaisa shali. Wow, it's a very dramatic and powerful language. And I want to share with you an insight also, it's not on your page, of Reb Chaim Kanevsky. We all know Reb Chaim Kanevsky is the great Gaon in Bnei Brak. His father was a great genius, the Stipler. And he used to tell the Balei Musar, you know, who very often would come to him and say, well, what should be my message to my congregants? You know, it's like a rabbi would go to his rabbi and say, Rebbe, tell me, what should I convey to my people at this time of the year as we enter El? And, you know, I think, frankly, don't worry. You know, back off, Hashem has great love and compassion and mercy for us. We're good buddies. But Reb Chaim Kanevsky offered the exact opposite suggestion. And he said the following, quote this Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Gimel, and basically the message that you want to convey to them, and you want to arouse them to the idea is that everyone should know that whatever tzaras happened to this world, it's because of me. It's because of you as an individual. That's a very heavy message. Everything is indirectly caused by my actions. And that really is a very heavy kind of musa shmuz. Reb Chaim used to add that although it's true that tragedies that take place are not directly because of your actions, but it's called grumma. And grumma means indirect causative actions. And even though he said, Reb Chaim used to say, even though the law is that a mazik is patur, if he was mazik begrumma, but nevertheless, that's only b'din yadam, but b'din shamayim, grumma is chayav. That's a sugi, of course, in Perek HaKones, the sixth perek in Bava Kama. And if you look at the Chafetz Chaim in his famous, shall we call it his magnum opus on Shmiras HaLoshon, on the laws of Lashon Hara, he says, Mi odea kama b'nei adam yardu b'nichseyem al yadam. A person who speaks Lashon Hara, he says, you don't know how many different people on the face of the earth may have lost their finances because of his sin. And then he adds another four words which send a shudder up my spine, V'kama mesu al yado. How many people may have died as a result of his violation of the laws of Shmiras HaLashon. This is the Chafetz Chaim. Again, he was known to be a very compassionate and soft-spoken individual, but boy, when it comes to this, he gets fire and brimstone, and he's sort of opening our eyes to see the reality and the responsibility, the burden that's on our shoulders, each one of us, as an individual. And here I want to study with you, or rather just review with you, the story of Yonah, of the great prophet Yonah. And you remember that Yonah was sent on a shlichut, a tremendous responsibility, to warn the people of Nineveh that if they don't do tshuva fast, they're going to be destroyed. And Yonah decides to be kovesh es nevuasa. He is not going to share that prophecy. And what he does instead is he runs from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. And the reason, what motivates him, kidei shelo lekatre chas v'shalom, Chazal interpreted that he was avoiding any possible prosecution against Klal Yisrael on high, because look at Nineveh. You know, Klal Yisrael gets sent to all these Nevi'im and they don't do tshuva, and Nineveh gets sent one Navi, and look what these Goyim are capable of doing. They do tshuva. What a terrible prosecution it would be against the people of Israel. And therefore, Yonah makes the decision that he's going to run to Chutz Laretz. Fine. The Gemara says in Moed Katan that Nevuah is in Eretz Yisrael. Eina Nevuah Shorel of Eretz Yisrael. And Yonah runs to Chutz Laretz. The Gemara seems to assume that there is Nevuah in Chutz Laretz, but only as a continuation of the Nevuah that started in Eretz Yisrael. Fine. So Yonah, I mean, we'll have to, this is not for us today. Yonah was of the opinion that by running to Chutz Laretz, that would terminate his Nevuah. He goes into the boat. You remember, and he's down in the bottom of this ship that's out to sea. And all this is kedei in order to avoid Kitrug against Klal Yisrael. And in those days, the people of Israel were in Eretz Yisrael. Now, look what Yonah's giving up. First of all, he's giving up Eretz Yisrael, his connection to the people. Secondly, he left his family, his friends, all his familiar surroundings to go to Chutz Laretz. Thirdly, he goes down to the bottom of this boat and he's going into Golus in order to be mafkia, in order to remove from himself the status of a Navi. Now, there is something strange about the logic here, because there are many Nevi'im, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to get this prophecy over to Nineveh, and Yonah is incapable and unwilling to do so, Hashem could find a substitute. There are other Nevi'im. But on the other hand, this Navi, Yonah, doesn't want to be the one to do it. He was a Talmud, the Gemara tells us, of Elisha Navi, And even though at the time of Elisha there were many, many Nevi'im, but nevertheless, he, Yonah, did not want to be the one to bring about a kitrug against Klal Yisrael. So he's willing to suffer all this in order to avoid kitrug on Klal Yisrael. He was very solid and very shalem, so to speak, with his decision. He thought he was doing the right thing. He goes down to the Sfina, and he sees that, you know, throughout history, we find the great leaders of Klal Yisrael, all they want to do is find Sanigaria defense to justify the Jewish people and protect them from divine wrath. Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to say, Mecheni no misifracha, and all this is because he didn't want to be Mekatrik. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu was, you know, had accepted upon himself a tremendous leadership role, but even so, there were times in which Moshe Rabbeinu would say, erase me, I don't want this leadership role. So Yonah is really, in a sense, a great individual, an absolute phenomenal Navi El Oev Yisrael, and he represents a teaching that goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he applies it to himself. Who's in this boat? It's all Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The pasuk says, "Vashem hitil ruach gedola el ayom, vayi sar gadol bayom, vadiach ishvali shaver." So the captain of the ship is, and all the staff, they're overwhelmed by this storm. They're overwhelmed with fear, and each one cries out to his God. Yonah, on the other hand, is down in the. It says, "Vayishka vayirodem." He's sleeping in the bottom of the ship. You know, in today's yachts, maybe you could understand that, but he's sleeping down there. Why? So the Rabbeinu Bechai says, Misha libo batuach, lo hoylo pachad klal. He knew he was doing the right thing. He was absolutely certain, he was convinced. And if the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, you know, want to cry out to their gods, that's fine. But I have fear for my God. He created the earth, he created the seas, he created the land. We will be saved because God is going to protect. He had total faith in God. But when the captain came to him, after they, you remember, they took lots, and the lot was meant to determine who was the cause of this terrible raging storm, it fell on Yonah. So Yonah tells his story, if you recall. Vayomru Elov, Manasaloch, what should we do to you? We have no choice. Vayomer Aleim, listen to the language of Yonah. Yonah says, Sauni, pick me up. Vatiluni Elayam, and throw me, cast me into the sea. Vishtok Ayomer Aleichem, I promise you, I guarantee you that the sea will become immediately calm. Kiyodeani, I know. Ki v'shali hasar ha-godol ha-zelich. I am the cause of this incredible storm. And this, I think, is a message unto itself. Yodea ani ki v'shali hasar ha-godol ha-zelich. He turns the accusing finger to himself. He becomes aware and acknowledges that he's the cause of this catastrophe. And I say it's a kal v'chomer. If Yonah could say this, and look at the tzidkus, and the level of bitachon he had in when what he was doing was the right thing, how much more so should we say such a thing? Ki yodea ani ki v'shali hasar ha-godol hazeh. We see storms happening here and there, of all different sorts and types. We have to point an accusing finger at ourselves. Despite his greatness, a person like Yonah would say, v'shali hasar ha-godol hazeh aleichem. And basically, this is our awesome responsibility when we realize that our actions determine what goes on in the world around them, and a tremendous impact and repercussions on those around us. I'm teaching on Wednesday nights Masechta Makis. The Gemara says that the mothers of the Kohen Gadol in the various periods of time would bring mazon to mind. They bring great luxury items to the Rotzchim who dwelled in the Eir Miklat. And why? So that the Rotzchim would not pray on behalf of the death of the Kohen Gadol. So Gemara asks, and let's say they would pray. So what, the Kohen Gadol is going to die because the Rotzchim want him to die so they get free from the Miklat? And the Gemara says, unbelievable, that the Kohen Gadol is partially responsible for this whole situation of Ritzicha. And why? So the Gemara says, because Hayelo Levakesh Rachmal Doro Velo Bikesh. He didn't do enough of tefillah, of prayer, to prevent this Ritzicha from happening. Again, we're not talking about a situation where the Kohen Gadol Chas V'Shalom caused the death of someone, or caused the murder situation. But just the very fact that he could have prayed and he should have prayed and he didn't, or maybe he didn't pray hard enough, that itself makes him responsible, such that the tefillah of the Rotzeach can now bring about his demise. The Gemara goes on to tell a story there about Eliyahu HaNavi, who used to come on a daily basis to learn Torah with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, one of the great Amoraim. And one time, within Shalosh Paras, which somebody died and was brutally killed, attacked by a lion, and he died, and this happened within three parsiel, so a close, relatively close radius to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and Eliyahu HaNavi stopped coming to him for 3 days. He refused to come to him. You were guilty. You could have prevented through your prayers what happened to this person. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Nedarim that a person who doesn't visit the sick, it's like he was shofech damim. He's a chote. And why? Because he could have been mevakesh chola mevakesh rachma al chola, and therefore he caused them to die. That's an unbelievable accusation. So even our actions and our lack of actions, our inactions, mitzvot that we should be doing or omit, prayers that we should be praying and we omit, those cause a tremendous catastrophe in the world. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev is famous for saying that Noach was considered by, Rashi quotes it, Mikatne Amuna. Why was he Mikatne Amuna? He didn't believe in himself. He didn't believe that he would have the power through his tefillah to change the Gzardin and save his generation. Again, this is a tremendous responsibility that we all have to say, like Yonah B'Shali, Asar, Agodol Azeh. Everyone has to be Choshesh, has to be worried. Maybe he's causing the downfall. He's having a detrimental impact on others. He has to be concerned about the Rabbim, about others. And that's what I think is the important message here, which I want to show you as we look into the Musa Shmuz of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. And that's really what I want to focus your attention on today. So just give me a second to get myself organized. I want to call to your attention the Mishnah in the second parak of Avos. There are two Mishnayos which are contiguous. They both address the midos and the derech, the right road and path that we should take in life. The first Mishnah addresses the derech tova shidbak baha adam and gives a whole list: ayin tova, chaver tov, shachin tov, roas hanolad. The second Mishnah reflects on the derech ra'a shisrachik mimenu adam. What do we have to keep ourselves far away from? And in the name of Rabbi Lezer, we have Ayin Ra. In the name of Rabbi Yeshua, we have Chavir Ra. Rabbi Yossi says Shachin Ra. And then we get to Rabbi Shimon. And this is a pellet. In the same context, and addressing the same question, what is a Derech Ra, Shisrachik Vimena Adam, says Rabbi Shimon, Halove V'yena Mashalim, I borrow money, I don't return the money. Love Rasha V'lo Yishalim. So this is a very strange Mishnah, because you know, everything else in these two Mishnayos reflect on a general attitude and attribute in our behavior vis-a-vis the world at large and all our interpersonal relationships. Here, Rabbi Shimon is focused on one particular mitzvah, the mitzvah of Piron Chov, which no doubt is a significant mitzvah. But, you know, if the Mishnah was talking about mitzvahs, I could have given you a whole barrage, a whole list of mitzvahs. But Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in his Musa Shmuz answers this question. But first, before we get to his understanding of Lo Ver Rasha Veinu Mishalim, he starts with the famous Tosefta about why Yehuda merited being the king. Malchus is for Yehuda. And the answer is because he saved his brother Yosef from certain death when he said, Ma Betzah Kinarga Sachinu V'Kisidu Es Domo.
So Reb Chaim adds the following. L'chora at face value, this is a pella. We don't understand what's going on. Yehuda was very much part of that bezdin, of that court that was convened and condemned Yosef to die. Yosef was judged for death. He was a rodef. Yehuda was one of the individuals who was part of this court. He was a judge, and he handed down the verdict. And now he changes, and he says, "Ma betza kinaro gesachinu." What changed? Says Reb Chaim that perhaps we could say that when he says "ma betza," if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Vinalim es misoso." In other words, the people, the brothers said, "You know, we're going to slaughter an animal, and we're going to dip his garment in the blood, and we're going to send it back and say Chai Rosan." In other words, they were not bold enough or honest enough to tell the truth. In other words, they themselves were uncomfortable about this Gemar Din. You know, when a judge offers a Gemar Din, he gives his verdict and he hands down his final decision, and then he himself starts shaking and he says, "You know, wait a minute, maybe I went too far. I don't know the law." Again, every system has its own law. I don't know if he can reverse his decision, but it doesn't make the final decision and the Gemar Din that was passed out to be something very reliable and very effective. You know, it's a funny kind of Chal Hashem Gemar Din when the people who gave that Gemar Din, they themselves are unwilling to accept openly the responsibility for their action. Let's say you have a murder case and the court decides to put the murderer to death. Then the members of the court, or the members of the jury in any case, should be very proud of themselves that they meted out justice. But here, they put Yosef to death, or they were going to, and guess what? They're chitter-chattering, they're not willing to take a stand on it, and they start giving flimsy excuses. "Yeah, no, he was killed by this, and it was an accident." And what does that mean? So Yehuda himself realized, analyzing the situation and the inhibitions and the lack of comfortability of the Achim with this decision, this itself, according to Yehuda, disqualifies and completely undermines the verdict that was handed down. And what was Yehuda basically saying? He was exhibiting, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, a feeling, a commitment to responsibility. He was responsible. He says, if we feel a sense of responsibility because we are illegally putting our brother to death and he has no right to die, then we're not being responsible. And Yehuda was the one who stood forward realizing this, took the responsibility on his shoulder. He says, "I must save my brother Yosef." The Tosefta gives another explanation as to why Yehuda was Zochel Malchus. And that is because Hoda B'maisa Tamar, you remember he made a public confession that he was responsible for Tamar being pregnant. And that was, of course, very humiliating to Yehuda, but he didn't hesitate doing it. Why? Because Yehuda embodies achrayus. Achrayus means responsibility, like we discussed before in the context of the Rambam and the Kli Yoker and Re'eh and the Chsam Sofer, that a person has to realize how responsible he is for his decisions, for his actions. And this is what Yehuda personifies. Tzadka mimeni, he's going to make a public declaration. I am responsible. She's right and I'm wrong. I take upon myself full responsibility for the actions. And I have to tell you, Rabosai, here in Israel, I think we need a little bit more of a sense of political leadership of Israeli leaders who are willing to take responsibility for their actions. I don't know. That's just my observation in passing. In any event, Yehuda could have easily cleansed his hands of this action, but he's a melech. And a melech is responsible. A melech realizes that he has to have courage, even if that courage means publicly announcing and confessing his responsibility for the action. Reb Chaim, based on this yesod, wants to explain the Gemara in Yuma, the difference between Shaul and David. David was guilty of more than one sin, and Shaul was guilty of one single sin. The Gemara says, Shaul chata chet echad v'avda malchus emenet, the malchus was ripped out of his hands. David chata b'shtayim v'lo yivda, and yet he was able to do tshuva and he was reinstated as a melech. So what's the difference really? Why is it that Shaul, even though he asked for mechila, he wasn't successful in achieving it? And the answer is because Shaul's confession was half-baked. He said, Yoresius ha'am, v'yeshma b'kolam. He gives a whole rationale as to why he didn't kill Adam Molek. He's got excuses, and it's so easy to give excuses because you're not willing to suffer the consequences by admitting the truth. So instead of admitting the truth, you falsify a little. You know, you obfuscate a little bit. So, you know, the people were pressuring me, you know, this, that, and the other thing. He gives all theological explanation. The Ketanim were not guilty of the crime, and so forth. So we can't kill our enemies because they're guiltless, and everybody knows what I'm referring to. So in any event, Reb Chaim says the following: why was the Malchus taken away from Shaul? Not as a punishment, but simply Shaul was not the person who was appropriate for kingship. Because kingship belongs to someone who is responsible, who takes achrayus, not for someone who obfuscates with all sorts of excuses. And if you look at the top of the page, you'll see that Reb Chaim adds another knesh over here. He says the greatness of a person must always be measured by his level of responsibility for his actions. A person who has no sense of responsibility for his actions is not considered a bar das. Das, which defines the human being, means someone who is responsible for his actions. And the greater his midah, his measure of responsibility, the greater a person is. And ultimately, if a person is really responsible for his actions, he's royal amalchus, he should be king. But we tend to look for excuses. And we always come up with excuses. And this is what Reb Chaim is going to say here. If you turn your page a little bit on the side, he says that the human being, by his very nature, looks always to remove responsibility from his actions. And sometimes he's not only interested in convincing others that he's guiltless, but even to himself he lies in order to cleanse himself and remove himself from any level of guilt. He denies lo chatasi. And that's why the Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, Gam b'knafecha nimtzu dam nefashos oivim nekiyim, kini kesi inini nishbaroscha al imrach v'lo chatasi. Rashi says, Tomar believi kini kesi, a person wants to say in his heart, I'm guiltless, my record is clean, I'm clean as a whistle. Says Rashi, klomar, ha'adam marama af es atzmo, a man is willing to fool himself and deny that he sinned, lo chatasi. And this is the Iker Tvia. What is God upset about? Why is he rejecting us? It's because hinini nishpat oschal imrach lo chatasi. I'm going to judge you because of your denial of sin, because you want to be misnayer from sin and shake it off to remove responsibility. That is the reason why man is judged in that negative way, because of man's refusal to accept guilt and responsibility. And the most extreme case is Cain. Cain. Here's the story of Cain. Cain kills his brother, and who's guilty? Ma, says Cain, Ashomer achi anochi, am I responsible for the death of my brother? And then Cain goes a step further. He points an accusing finger at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Ashomer achi anochi. The word anochi, according to Tanchuma, is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You want to claim that I'm responsible for the death of my brother? Oh no, Anochi is responsible for the death of my brother. You're the one who killed him. He died because of you. And why did he die because of you? Because, look, you didn't accept my carbon. Yeah, had you accepted my carbon the way you accepted Hevel's carbon, I wouldn't have been jealous and I would have killed him. So man finds the place to blame on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's unbelievable. This is the case of Cain.
That's what lawyers are all about. Isn't that with guys driving cars while drunk and blaming it on the car?
They blame it on the car, right? The car was not in perfect working condition. Not that I was drunk, chas v'shalom, right? So that's what Reb Chaim writes over here. He says, "Lo yadati Hashem rachi anochi ubevadei shloho yadas kayin leramos hakadosh baruch hu." I mean, a person at the level of Kayin, who Rav Chaim says was a navi because he had communication from God, he certainly knew that he was incapable of fooling Hakadosh Baruch. But the answer is, he fooled himself. He was so eager to remove any level of guilt or responsibility from himself that he convinced himself that he's not responsible for the death of his brother. It says, we say in benching, "Harachamanu yanchilenu yom shekulo Shabbos umenucha lechaye olamin." What does it mean? It means that on eventually lechaye olamin, the Yetzahara will be completely nulled and voided, and at that point, man will do no sins. That's what we could say, "Harachaman." HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have a Yom Shekul Shabbos Menucha. Finally, all the sinners will stop pointing their accusing fingers at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and blame him with a capital H for all their sins. And here we want to quote the famous Medrash that, I think it's in Tana de Belio, if I'm not mistaken, the Brisa records an encounter between Eliyahu HaNavi and a fisherman. Eliyahu turns to the man, he says, what do you do for a living? He says, "I'm a fisherman." And then Eliyahu says to him, "Bini, my son, mi limedcha? Who taught you how to fish?" And, you know, it's complicated. You have to bring pishtan, and you have to weave it, and you have to create nets, and you have to throw it exactly into the water, exactly there, and the dog can come up. "Who taught you all this?" So he responds, "Rebbe, but zeh nasu li bina v'das min hashamayim. I have bina and das that was granted to me from heaven." So Eliyahu says to him, "Umala havi pishtan v'larog mitzudos u'lahashlich hayam u'lahalos dogim in hayam nasu l'cha bina v'das." And when I ask you, why aren't you studying Torah? So your answer is that nobody gave you bina vidas. In the first part of this price, which I accidentally skipped, it says bini ma'ata meshiv lavicha shmaim leam adin, that Eliyahu HaNavi accosted this individual, this fisherman. He asked him, "Well, you know, you're not capable of reading, of learning chumash, certainly not mishnah." So the man answers to try to defend himself, and he says, "Bina v'das lo nasnu leven hashamayim. Nobody gave me bina v'das she'ekra v'eshna, so I should be capable of learning Torah." You know, you've heard this excuse so many times. People say, "What do you want from me? I should come to a shir. I don't know a word of Hebrew." So Eliyahu says to him, "Well, look, you have bina v'das min hashamayim. You were able to be a professional fisherman with all that's involved in preparing it. And with regard to Torah study, it says ki karve lecha dover miod." And now you're claiming lo nasnu lecha bina v'deyam in hashamayim. And the man starts crying because he realizes that he has no argument here and that he is guilty, and if he wanted to apply himself, he could study Torah. But when he cries, Eliyahu HaNavi says to him, "You know what, bini al yera lecha, don't feel so bad, because kol shar bnei oda ba'olam mishivim osa tshuva." Everybody gives that answer. You know, "I don't have the capabilities. God didn't bestow it upon me." So let's just finish up in at least the shmooze from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. At least that much. Maybe we'll get a chance to see the chidah. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says the following. The Tanchuma, getting back to Kain for a moment, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Ei hevel echicha," and Kain responds, "Hashom rachi anochi, atahu shomer kol abrios." You, God, are in charge of protecting all of your creatures. So why are you coming to me with a claim? Says the Tanchuma, "Mashal ma dover domer leganav sheganav kelim b'layla v'lo nitpas." He steals at night. He wasn't caught. Leboker in the morning, the shoer, the person in charge of the gate, finds him and catches him and says to him, "Why did you steal the kelim?" My profession is to steal. So I was loyal to my profession. I lived up to my expectations. What about you? You're supposed to be the security guard, and that's your umnus. Why didn't you catch me? The Ashavatomalikach, now you have a claim to me? And this is the mashal that Tanchuma gives for Cain. Cain says, I killed him because you, God, created a Yetzirah in me. But you are in charge of protecting everything, and you let me kill him. You're the one who's guilty, because you shouldn't have allowed me to kill him. So Reb Chaim says on this Tanchuma, if he were one of Chazal's called Tanosif Shel Cain, all the claims of Cain, which he tries to cleanse his record with different reasons, the different svaras, and it's all because he's not willing to take responsibility for his actions. That's what man is guilty of, says the Navi. And in the newer editions of the Sichos Musar of Chaim Shulevitz, he adds another piece here in which he interprets, sheds light on Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah in Avos. What is the Derech Ra'a Sheisrachik Lo Mena Adam and it's Lo Verashim Lo Yishalim? Why is that listed here? That's not a Hashkafa, that's just a particular mitzvah, and he violated that mitzvah by not returning the chov. The answer is because this guy's such a scoundrel, he borrows money and he doesn't return the money that he borrows. And why is that? That's not a chait per se, but that's a derech ra. That's an evil path a person goes on, because that undermines the essence of and the tzur of what a man is all about. You borrow, and then you say, you know what, it's not my responsibility to repay that chov. Aren't you a baal chov? Don't you owe the money? Don't you feel yourself responsible? Why don't you go to all the ends of the earth to dig up the money if you have to beg, borrow, and steal in order to return the money that you borrowed? But the answer is that you're lacking in the basic element of human nature, vachrayus. You don't feel the sense of responsibility. A person has to feel achrayi. He has a chiv and he has to pay up. The afshein yodo masegis, even if he doesn't have the money, then somehow rely on Hashem, find out how you can get the money. So the essence of man is to be responsible, and that's what Chodesh Elul is all about. And that's what I think the Chidah is quoting here, which you'll see on your page if you turn it a little bit to the right. Diyesh la'adam kama shiorim, he says that man has five senses. Each one of the five senses is a different gateway. And we have to be very careful about what we allow to enter into this gate. Whether it's the power of sight and the things we shouldn't see, and the power of hearing that we shouldn't listen to. And then he has reach, the things we shouldn't be smelling because they could arouse the wrong behavior and thoughts. And shara deeper, things we shouldn't be hearing and speaking about. Shara mishus, things we shouldn't be touching. And basically a person has to set himself up as a dayan, as a judge. That's what the pasuk means when it says shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha. And why does it say lecha? The lashon yachid. After all, the responsibility to appoint judges is incumbent upon the tzibur, the community. But the answer is, says the Chidah, this is an allusion. Again, you know, there are many different levels of interpreting the Torah, but this is al pi derech hadrush, to every single Jew who has to set up shoftim v'shotrim on all his sha'arim, all his openings, all his senses, and kol adam yigdar geder b'chol sha'arav, a person has to set up harchakos in order to avoid any contact with sin. And he gives many, many examples. And in the parsha of Egla Rufa, you remember when they find a slain body and they don't know who's responsible for the death of this person, there's this Egla Rufa, and there's a kapara for the dam that was spilled. Holchim adam makom shahoreg nimtza sham v'tovsin oso bezdin v'donin oso v'yesh omet hatolas nechnes beguf shal ahoreg umemisin oso. So whatever it is, it means that there's a responsibility resting on the shoulders of the rotzech, of the murderer, and he will be taken to task, and he'll be punished for what he did.
So then, just to summarize what we've been saying today, as an introduction to Chodesh Elul, and certainly to Parshas Re'eh in Lashon Yochid, and to Parshas Shoftim, Titeim Lecha B'Lashon Yochid, we're talking about an awesome sense of responsibility. The backdrop to that is Gemara in Kiddushin, the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva in the third parak, about how every action, every decision we make has an impact on the entire tzibur. Yehuda is going to be chosen as the Melech of Yisrael because he's willing to embrace this responsibility. A person who's not willing to accept responsibility is not worthy of being a king. And to a certain extent, a person who's not willing to be responsible for his actions is not even a human being. I mean, Cain, basically by shirking his responsibility, and he's not willing to admit that he's guilty for the murder of his brother Hevel, he has forfeited his rights to claim, as a human being could claim, to understand and appreciate his sense of responsibility. And therefore it makes sense that as we enter into this period, we should realize that we can't be a lover velo veinam shalem. Everything that God gives us is like a halva. He invested us, he gives us, he grants us so many gifts. And we're meant to give, to use these gifts, to give back, whether it's to fellow man, whether it's Bein Adam L'Makom. And if we don't do so, then we are certainly very guilty, and we should take upon ourselves responsibility for our act. The last one is this. This is based on a medrash about the fact that there's going to be a kapara of dam. In other words, just like the Rotseach spilled blood, so too there will be another blood that's going to be mechaper for that action. And what is that blood? So it has something to do with the Egla Rufa. The Egla Rufa represents the, you know, so to speak, the body of the Rotseach, and we're going to destroy that Egla Rufa. And it says in the Medrash here, quoted by the Targum Yonasan, that what's going to happen is that from this Egla Rufa, there are going to be Toloim that come out of the Egla, and they will travel to the place where the Horeg is, they will grab him, they will judge him, and they will put him to death. There's another slightly different version here where the Toloim enter into the Guf of the Horeg, and they kill him directly. Not that he dies and then the Toloim go in. And all this is based on a remez in the Pasuk. If you look at the Sofei Tevos, he comes up with Dalid, Yud, Mem, He. I guess he rearranges the letters in such a way. And that's going to be the Dam that's going to be spilled as a punishment for the blood that was spilled. So what we have is a kapara in which the Horeg is responsible for his actions, and he will be duly punished. Now, I de-emphasize that in the picture because I think the more important source for today's discussion and study, in my opinion, of course, the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva Perek Gimel, but also Reb Chaim Shmulevitz and the discussion that we had about Yonah, because I think that's very powerful, that Yonah puts all the blame on himself. Despite the tzidkus and all his self-confidence that he had made the right decision, how much more so should we be blaming ourselves? And this is what Reb Chaim Kanevsky used to tell the Bali Musar at this time of the year, that the message that they should convey is the message of responsibility. Realize that even though you think you're a cog in the wheel, and you're on a fly on the elephant's back, or a mosquito on the camel's back, whatever way the muscle you want to use, but realize that you have tremendous impact on the entire world. You know, Reb Chaim Volozhin in the Nefesh HaChaim speaks about how the entire cosmos is dependent upon our actions. Our actions have a tremendous ripple effect throughout the world and all the universes, and of course within a closer range, like we saw that Eliyahu HaNavi refused to visit Rabbi Shimon Levi after somebody died within a proximity. You have an impact on your immediate vicinity. And if things aren't going well, you should point the finger towards yourself, make a cheshbon nefesh, and be willing to be man enough to admit your sins. That's the real challenge. If we had more time, I would discuss the Gemara in Avodah Zarah about Elozer ben Dudaya. You know, he's the one who blames everything and everybody. until finally, at the end of the story, he realizes that it's he himself. Once he's willing to accept that responsibility, then he can recite vidui, then he can do a true, genuine tshuva. We have a tendency of following in the footsteps of Adam HaRishon, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam HaRishon what happened, he says, Aish asher nisati imadi. Do you know anyone who doesn't blame his wife for everything? And that's it, just to find alibis and excuses. That's the nature of man. We have to counter that with accepting responsibility for our actions, realizing the repercussions, how severe they are. That's the opening, I think, for tshuva. That's the beginning for tshuva. In the Brisa of Tanna Dvei Eliyahu about the fishermen, which is in the 14th parak of Tanna Dvei Eliyahu, the opening line is telling. Once upon a time, Elio relates, I was walking from one place to the other, and I chanced upon a person who was totally ignorant. And perhaps the ignorance here is symbolic of the fact that this person, like so many of us, was unwilling to give a correct and honest answer to the castigation and the rebuke of the Navi. Instead he says, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give me Bina Videa. You know, it's all because of God. You know, everybody blames everything on God. You know, if I'd been in a better station of life, I would have done better. If I had a better education, I had better parents, better siblings, better neighborhood. You know, everything, I blame my circumstances. Instead of pointing my finger and saying, as Elazar ben Dodai finally did, Eina dover tolui ela elabi. I just want to end the shiur with one story that I found in Vigadita for Parsha Shoftim. He tells a story in which he was asked to go to Chutz Laaretz from Bnei Brak in order to raise money for a very worthy cause. And it was a great mitzvah. And he came to a house, he had an address, he was sent there, and he was able to locate the house. It was a palace. He says he can't even describe the beauty of it, you know, the wealth and the riches. And Rav Galinsky says, I don't suffer from Tzaras Ayin. Obviously, this man must be a person who's very makpid on the midst of tzitzis, because the Gemara says that if a person is zoyer in the midst of tzitzis, is zoche umesham shelo alpayim ushmor meil savodim. You know, he will have 2,800 servants that will serve him, and the Gemara says that they will prepare a place for him to live. And therefore, apparently, this man must have been Zohar in Tzitzis. In any event, he comes in to meet the man, and he wants to be Mezakim in the mitzvah of Tzedakah. And immediately the man responds, listen, Rabbi, Hazmanim Kashim, the times are very difficult. Ulai B'pam Acheres, maybe come a different time. And basically he said, you know, let the poor people manage, somehow they'll manage Yachziku Mamad in the meantime, and hopefully I can give you next time you come. So the rabbi says to him, Nicha, okay, look, you aren't able to give me the opportunity to be mezaka me, that I can be mezaka you in the midst of tzedakah, but at least let me be mezaka you in a dvar Torah. And he immediately said, fine, you know, that didn't cost him anything, that was free. So I told him the story in the Gemara in Brachos Daf Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara tells us that with daybreak, the scholars of Israel, the Chachmei Yisrael, came in to David HaMelech, and they said to him, Adonenu HaMelech, Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnosa. King of Israel, the people of Israel don't have money. There's no income coming in. They don't have Parnosa. So David HaMelech gives a strange response. He says, Lechu v'sparnasu zeh mizeh. Let one be misparnas one from the other. I mean, very odd. I mean, here, the Chachmei Yisrael said to David, Am chisot tzrichim parnasa. Anyway, after David's response, the Chachamim said to David, Eina komitz masbias ari. This is not enough to feed the lion. Meaning, it's not enough to go around. It's not like we could split the portions and share one Jew to the other. It's just not enough of a volume financially to support the people. So here David gives the following answer. Lechu ufishtu yedechem bigdut.
meaning go out and fight a battle. You'll conquer your, you'll subjugate your enemies, and you'll bring back shalom, booty, and that'll be parnasa for Klal Yisrael. So again, let's just ask a few questions on this Gemara. Number one, the Chacham Yisrael came initially to tell him in the first round that there's no parnasa. So what was his response? They told him that there's not enough. And then they had to repeat themselves by saying, Eina kovitz maspias hari. Secondly, what was David's solution to this problem? The king says, go out to battle. Yeah, but battle is a very dangerous thing. You know, this is a life-threatening situation. And who's going to guarantee that they succeed? And not only that, even if they're victorious in the war, who knows at what price they're going to pay? And above and beyond that, who says that there'll be enough shalal, enough booty taken by this war to solve the communal poverty issue of the people, the community of Israel? So Rav Galitsky turns to his Baal HaBayis and he says, what would you say about this? The rich person sort of squirmed in his seat. He was uncomfortable. He says that you're asking some good questions. Well, okay, fine. I knew I was asking a good question. Now let me go on. I want to share with you the answer, the interpretation of the Chabina Rav. He says, when the Chachmei Yisrael came into David HaMelech, and they said to him, Am Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa, David HaMelech was amazed. And he said, we have a principle, it's in the Yerushalmi and Masechta Gittin, Ein Anius B'Tzibur. That means, you can't say that the entire community is poverty stricken, because a community works as a community, arm in arm, Ish Esrei Eyu Yazoru, each man helps his friends, whether it's lending money or giving stock or gemilus ches, whatever it is. And therefore, L'chuvis Parnasu Zemizeh, a tzibur has to work in unison, each one caring for another. So what they answered was, Eina komitz masbia esari, meaning that we turn to the rich people, and what are they giving? They're giving a komitz. They're giving a very small volume of sustenance, and it doesn't have kidei lasbia. And what are they answering to us? They're telling us, Azmanim kashim, it's difficult times, maybe come another time. So David HaMelech said with his chachma, you know what? I'll give you a recommendation. L'chu ufishtu yideichem bigdud. Says the Chabina Rebbe, what was he telling them? He was saying, go out and draft, a general draft of all youngsters, all the young men, to go out to battle, join the force. And then the Kohen will stand up and will make an announcement, a declaration, which is recorded here in our parasha, in Parashas Shoftim, Mi ha'ish asher bona bayis chadosh v'lo chanocho yelech v'yoshu l'beiso. Whoever has built a house, a new house, and he hasn't yet gotten a chance to dedicate his house, let him go back to his house. And at that point, go see how many people stand up and go back and leave the milchama. Then the Kohen goes on. He says, Mi ha'ish shenot ha'keren. Who's the person who planted a vineyard for Lochilolo? Yelech v'yoshu l'beiso. You'll take a look and you'll see how many people pick up and leave the camp, the army camp. So what are you telling me? You're telling me that there's manim kashim. You're telling me that the rich people are complaining that it's difficult times and there's a dachus, there's a very difficult pressure to get money. And therefore they don't want to help their friends who are nebuch in mitzukah, they're suffering. How can you say such a thing when so many of the young soldiers went back because they had just established a brand new house or they just had planted a new kerem? So Baruch Hashem, the end of the story, if you're interested in knowing, Zerav Galinsky says that Hashem helped me and I was zocha, not only in sharing Dvar Torah with this rich guy, but also I got some tzedakah. So it was success. And basically, again, what we have to impress upon the rich people who give tzedakah, or upon all of us who have capabilities of doing whatever we can, if it's not tzedakah, it's other mitzvahs, is that no excuses. You're not going to say, Hazmanim kashim, I'm too lazy, I'm too tired, I don't have the finances. Bina vidas lo not nitno limin hashamayim, like the fisherman said. No, you have to really put yourself out,
work very hard, out of a sense of responsibility, stand up to the plate and hit those balls and do the mitzvos and do the ma'asim tovim, the chesed, the tzedakah. And in that way, Klal Yisrael mafarnesim zetzeh will create a community that is unified, that is solid, will come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ke'ish echad, b'lev echad, and Hashem on the day of judgment, which is fast and approaching, it's now a month down the line, that's all, will be mezakos bedin. If we do this out of a sense of achrayus, which makes us worthy of malchus, then Emir Hashem, with that achrayus, will be able to machriya es atzmenu ves kol ha'olam kulo ken yiratzon. Amen.